We'll go ahead and call to order the meeting of the Finance and Facilities Subcommittee for Wednesday, March 24th. Cheryl, please call the roll to get us started. Members, make sure you turn on your mic for roll call.
Chair Yarborough?
Yeah, here.
Representatives Beltran?
Here.
Benjamin?
Here.
Botana?
Here.
Fusata Cabrera?
Here.
Caruso?
Here.
Taney?
Here.
Duran?
Here.
Fabricio? Hunchowski?
Here.
Joseph?
Here.
Mello? Mooney?
Here.
Morales?
Present.
Parsons Malika?
Here.
Sabatini?
Here.
Tant?
Here.
Williamson?
Here.
The quorum's present.
Thank you, Cheryl. Members, good afternoon. We have four bills on our agenda today. We have House Bill 899 related to managed care plan performance. We have House Bill 1071 related to Medicaid coverage for former foster youth, House Bill 1087, procurement activities of for-profit iBanks, and House Bill 1551, medication technicians. The first one we will take up today is House Bill 1071 by Representative Roth, Medicaid coverage for former foster youth. Representative, good afternoon. You're recognized to present your bill.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair, for this being allowed to present this bill to this great committee. And thank you, Representative Caruso, for making sure I get to go first. My bill is HB 1071, Medicaid coverage for former foster youth. The federal law requires that all states to provide Medicaid to former foster youth until age 26. This category of eligibility has no other requirements. Florida law requires young people to apply for Medicaid starting at age 21 and to reapply every year thereafter. So this bill would require DCF to develop a program to facilitate that enrollment of former foster youth eligible for Medicaid. This program will communicate, it will locate, and it will enroll eligible young adults into Medicaid, eliminate barriers to continuous enrollment, and provide outreach and technical assistance in enrolling. In summary, this is a simple glitch bill to keep certain eligible youth enrolled in Medicaid until age 26. This bill does not create a new eligibility category. And yes, it will increase enrollment in Medicaid. Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Roth. Representative Roth, having explained the bill, members, we're now open for questions. Any questions on the bill? Questions on the bill? Rep. Sabatini, you're recognized in questions.
Thank you, Chair. Have you spoken to DCF? They're not doing this already. We need a bill to require them to do it. They're not just trying to find these people already. I'm just curious what the purpose of the bill is.
You're recognized, Rep. Roth.
Very good question, sir. I appreciate that question. Actually, since January 1st of this year, DCF is beginning to automatically enroll kids that are transitioning. So those that are turning 21, they are trying to automatically enroll them. But you have to understand, there's all those other kids that are somewhere between 21 and 26. So the good news is that DCF's current enrollment process that automatically enrolls former foster youth as they transition out of the program will eliminate the need for this bill in the foreseeable future. But right now, we still have a problem. So they are going ahead and doing it, but they're doing it as they age out. They're not capturing all of them. We need to try to capture them all. This is a good bill because people are going to the doctor or going to the hospital. They're not enrolled. They fell through the cracks, and they most times get that medical attention and then have to re-enroll in order for the hospital to get paid. This is a glitch. So thank you for that question.
Good. All right, Vice Chair Caruso for question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good afternoon, Representative. Why did the DCF require individuals that were over 21 to reapply every year to begin with?
You're recognized.
That's a state law. That's what the state of Florida says. The question has come up, could we figure out a way to have them enroll at age 21 and just be in until 26? And the answer is no, you can't do that. The federal law requires, I think it's actually, let me double check. I think it's a federal law. Federal law requires periodic renewal of Medicaid eligibility at least every 12 months. So it's actually federal law, I'm sorry. It's federal law.
Thank you.
Follow up, okay. Additional questions? Questions on the bill? Okay. All right, seeing no additional questions, we have no amendments on the bill, so now we're in public testimony. We had one appearance card turned in, David Micah with Florida Hospital Association waving in support. Thank you. And that concludes our appearance cards. Members, we're now in debate on the bill. Any members wishing to debate? Rep. Sabatini, you're recognized in debate, followed by Rep. Duran. Go ahead.
Well, I appreciate the bill sponsor's concern with this issue, but I don't see the pressing need to create a new directive on a state agency to basically track down and push these people into Medicaid unless I see a problem, a tangible problem of them not being able to do it on their own. So I'll be down on the bill.
Thank you. Representative Duran in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep, for bringing this bill. I think it is a good bill. What I do often see with agencies is that without any sort of express direction, they often hesitate to move forward with these kinds of actions. I think in the end, it will also save us money because those folks ending up in that emergency room or in those hospital systems without the insurance tend to be what we have to end up paying for at a larger scale. So thank you for bringing this. It's a good bill.
Thank you. Additional members in debate. Representative Tant, you wish to, and then Ranking Member Joseph.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Roth, I appreciate you bringing this bill forward. I think it's necessary. This is not an act that pushes people towards Medicaid. These are children who are already on Medicaid because they're in the foster care system. This simply extends the length of time for these young people to get their feet under them and get a job, just like it does for all of our other kids in the state who have parents. So these are children who don't have parents, and I'm a strong proponent of this bill, and I'm going to be up on it.
Ranking Member Joseph in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Roth, for bringing this forward. I have worked personally with children like this, both abroad and in the U.S., in the foster care system, through orphanages, and anything we could do to help them make that transition is very meaningful and helpful, because that transition to adulthood after having not been adopted is traumatizing enough in and of itself, and no longer having the benefit of that institutional support, this kind of assistance that they already qualify for, right, is just thank you.
Thank you. Additional members wishing to debate? Any additional debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Roth, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. I'll just make one comment. This bill has gone through two committees in the Senate, the second one today. It has passed unanimously in both committees in the Senate. I chose to do this bill because I am concerned about adoption and foster children. This is an issue that's very important to me, and to me, this is just common sense. This is not an ideological argument here. This is people that are already eligible that are falling between the cracks. If we can do something to make government work better for people, that's what we need to be doing. With that, I close.
Thank you. Representative Roth, having closed on the bill, Cheryl, please call the roll on House Bill 1071 and announce the vote.
Representatives Beltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hanchowski?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello? Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Parsons Mullica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
16 yeas, one nay.
Thank you, Cheryl. By your action, we will show House Bill 1071 reported favorably. Thank you, Representative Roth.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Committee. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Members, next we will move to House Bill 1551, Medication Technicians, by Representative Buchanan. Representative, good afternoon. You recognize to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, members of the committee. Currently, law does not include a professional title when referring to an unlicensed ALF staff member who assists with self-administered medication and point-of-care devices. This bill defines the term medication technician and codifies the role in assisting with patient self-administration of medication and point-of-care devices. And, Mr. Chair, there is an amendment.
Thank you, Representative Buchanan. First, we'll take any member questions, then we'll move to the amendment. And members, we're now open for questions on the bill. Any questions? Questions on the bill? Seeing none, we will now take up the amendment that Representative Buchanan mentioned, barcode 830285. Members, you also have the blue sheet in front of you that has an explanation there. We'll recognize Rep. Buchanan to explain the amendment as well.
Thank you, Chair. And I also want to thank staff, Eric Lloyd, for helping us put this together. This amendment removes the fiscal component as it relates to ACA and provides a technical change to point-of-care devices, and that is the amendment.
Thank you. Representative Buchanan, having explained the amendment, members, any questions on this amendment? Questions? Okay, seeing none. We have no public testimony on the amendment, so members, we're now in debate. Any debate on the amendment? Any debate? Okay, seeing none, without objection, we will show the amendment adopted. So now we are back on the bill as amended, and we have no cards submitted for public testimony, so we're now in debate on the bill as amended. Members wishing to debate. Representative Sabatini, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Representative Buchanan, for the bill. Can you talk a little bit more about these minimum requirements for training and the actual direct result that we hope to achieve by requiring these new requirements?
Representative Sabatini, we've already moved from questions. That was before the amendment, and then we also
about that
taken up. But
no
you
debate.
Recognize if you'd like to debate. No? Okay. Any members wishing to debate? Okay. Seeing none, Representative, you're recognized. Close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair, and Representative Sabatini. Just to address your question and close. So there is a requirement of 6 hours of education, 2 hours. Thereafter for continuing education, and the training includes infection control, safe and handling of point-of-care devices, communicating with case managers, standard protocols for provision of care in licensed assisted living facilities, and identification of nurse standards and methods of assistance. That is the bill.
Okay, thank you.
With that, I close.
Representative Buchanan, having closed on the bill, thank you. Cheryl, please call the roll on House Bill 1551 and announce the vote.
Representative Zeltran?
Yes.
Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Busada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Hanchowski?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello? Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
16 yeas, one nay.
Thanks, Cheryl. By your action, we will show House Bill 1551 reported favorably as amended.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Next, we will hear House Bill 1087, Procurement Activities of For-Profit I-Banks, presented by Representative Daly in his very fashionable socks. Representative Daly, you're recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if the committee votes up, I'll send you a pair, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member, and committee members. House Bill 1087 would prevent a for-profit entity from profiting off the procurement of eye tissue, and that is the bill, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representative Daly, having explained the bill, members, we're open for any questions on the bill. Questions? Representative Cheney, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do you have any statistics telling us to kind of scope this problem for us? Is this happening? How many patients? How much money? Any stats for us?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, I don't have specific stats. I'll tell you that there are three I-banks in the state of Florida. Two of them are nonprofit and one is for-profit currently today.
Follow-up? Good. Okay. Representative Sabatini, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I failed to see the explanation of the bill and the impetus for the bill and where it came from. So my question to Representative Daly is, what's going on that prompted the bill? I'm trying to figure out why the legal tax status of being a profit or nonprofit in terms of your actual legal entity has any way, shape, or what's the actual direct result on the type of service or good that's being provided, and why would privileging one status over the other be important for us?
You're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative, for the question. I think there's a couple of different aspects that play in here. First is the moral aspect, right? Do we want the general public to think that someone is some shareholder somewhere is profiting off of their loved one's donated tissue? I think that's the crux of what we're trying to get at from the moral perspective. To your point on the tax status, you know, I would argue that it does make somewhat of a difference, right? If you have a for-profit, closely held company, nobody really knows what's going on other than those closely held individuals, right? If you've got a nonprofit status, you have to at least file something with the IRS that says, hey, this is what we're doing, this is where we're going. And I think we don't want to start a situation, you don't want to have a situation where you have individuals profiting off of the donated tissue, shareholders donating off the profited tissue, when those dollars should be going back to development and research and other nonprofit means tied to their original purpose.
Follow up, Representative Sabatini.
Well, I think it's sort of an interesting approach concerning the fact that funeral directors, which handle probably the most sensitive of all of our traditional life moments, which is death and the burial of human remains, they're not profits. These are profit companies. They do it with dignity. We trust them, but we don't tell them they have to be filed as a nonprofit for some reason because it makes us people feel safer or better or more dignified. So can you speak to that example?
You're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. That's not the scope of this bill, but maybe that's a conversation we can have. Maybe those should be nonprofit too. I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, my issue is the one that I originally started with, which is the fear that folks don't donate, don't sign up to be organ donors, don't sign up to donate that tissue because they don't like the thought of someone profiting off of it.
Okay. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative. I understand your, the moral concept that you're trying to create here, but, I know nonprofits where the CEO of a nonprofit makes $5 million a year. He's certainly profiting off of that charitable operation. And I know smaller entities, bingo nonprofits, where the sole purpose was to just bypass the law, set up a bingo business and take all the money out as a salary by the CEO. And it works. And people are doing it. And I just want to make sure that, these nonprofits, because I support the moral aspect of people not profiting off of body parts.
Vice Chair, can you formulate into a question?
And the question there is there anything in the bill that keeps nonprofits from taking advantage of the system?
Sure. You're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And Vice Chair, I would tell you there's nothing in the bill today, but it's certainly something I'm happy to look into. This is the system, and this is the way that the system has worked when it comes to donated tissue forever. This new for-profit entity is the first of its kind, and it's making its way across the country.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Duran, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was just curious, you just said something that kind of makes me beg to ask the question, are there other states that have moved forward with this kind of legislation? Have you seen this going on elsewhere?
You're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative, for the question. So far, Georgia, the state of Georgia, Louisiana, New Mexico, and Tennessee have all passed similar legislation.
Thank you. Representative Tant, you're recognized for a question.
I wanted to know what the company is and what they're doing wrong. What is it that they're doing wrong?
You recognize Rep. Daly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative, so the entity is known as Corneogen. I understand they may have been making the rounds prior to this bill coming up today. It's nothing against them personally. I think there's been some misinformation out there both last year and this year. By the way, folks, this bill passed all three committee stops unanimously last year, made it all the way to the floor, passed all the way through the Senate. Last year as well, with I don't think a single no vote. and so this one entity, although they'll put out that they've been doing and operating in this capacity for years, it's not actually the case. They have a nonprofit arm, which has operated for, I don't know, something like 60 years. And they I believe it was 2019, went to this for-profit status.
Okay. Ranking Member Joseph for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just kind of to dovetail into Vice Chair's question to you, isn't it true that for the for-profit entity, when they profit off of it, it's because of the cost that they're using to transport the tissue, whereas the two nonprofit entities that exist in Florida, one of which is Baskin-Palmer in Miami-Dade County, those fees that are charged are recycled and basically go to operating costs as opposed to profits. Is that correct? Is that the understanding?
That is,
you're recognized.
I'm sure that is my understanding, Representative.
You recognized?
I answered.
Just follow up? Good? Okay. Additional questions? Vice Chair Caruso.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. Representative, would this have any effect on the supply of eye tissue? What negative effect on supply?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, thank you for the question. Actually, no, we don't believe that it would. And I would submit that not passing this legislation may have an impact, right? So if play it out and it gets out that these for-profit entities are operating and profiting off of the tissue, you may have a situation where individuals say, hey, you know what, I'm not going to, or my loved one is not going to donate that tissue any longer. There is no shortage of eye tissue in Florida today. There's actually a surplus. So much so that CorneaGen actually ships Florida tissue to other states.
Follow up? Okay. Additional questions?
One last.
Representative Tant, go ahead.
Thank you. I forgot to ask this before. Why is the bill only dealing with corneal tissue versus the universe of it?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, so we're just narrowly focused on this issue. I'm happy to explore other opportunities in the future, but this is one where we've seen it, you know, firsthand, and you have such an operator already in existence.
Okay. All right, seeing no additional questions, we have no amendments on the bill. So now we're to public testimony. We have one appearance card, Gus Corbella. On behalf of CorneaGen, you are recognized to testify. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman and members. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I'll preface my remarks by saying that if one good thing has come out of this bill is the friendship that I've started with Representative Daley by going back and forth discussing this issue. And I'd like to take the opportunity to clear up some misconceptions that have occurred since this bill was introduced last year. The reason this bill was flying through the legislature last year unopposed was my client didn't know this bill was in existence until 8 days before the legislature ended. And that's why we were able to work at that time to try to put a stop to it at that time. And let me tell you why that was necessary. Simply put, House Bill 1087 is a protectionist piece of legislation that furthers one class of private interest over another without any rational basis for distinguishing them. CorneaGen does not buy or sell, nor will they ever buy or sell tissue, because the sale of human or the buying of human tissue is against federal and Florida law. I want to make that really clear, because one of the things that's being claimed that our company is doing is purchasing and profiting off of the sale of human tissue. That is against the law, federal law and state law. All eye banks, regardless of their taxpayer status, are reimbursed by corneal surgeons for the costs of preparing tissue for transplant and distributing it, not for the payment of the cornea itself. So whether you're a for-profit or not-for-profit, you're charging a fee, a processing fee, to recover the cornea, to process it, and to have it delivered to the transplant surgeon. It does not matter if you're a for-profit or not-for-profit eye bank. All eye banks charge approximately the same reimbursement fees for these services. In addition, the difference between for-profit and not-for-profit eye banks lies in how the revenue is distributed. To Representative Sabatini's point, for-profit is just a tax status. And what CorneaGen does is we use our revenue and put that towards dedicated clinical trials and research. It is a company that's driven by the mission that they want to rid corneal blindness worldwide by the year 2040. That's the only difference between our company and the two other not-for-profit eye banks, is the revenues that come from those fees are used for clinical trials and for research to rid corneal blindness. To Representative Caruso's question, it will lead to a significant reduction because the only thing this bill does is take one business, my clients, out of business in the state of Florida. And as one of the major iBanks in the state of Florida in Orlando, we operate Medical iBank of Florida in Orlando. That would be a major swath of the state that would no longer have the opportunity to get that phone call within 24 hours, harvest that cornea, and be able to use it to cure blindness in other people. I will tell you that we very proudly, in the era of COVID since 2019, have recovered over 2,500 corneas and restored sight to over 2,200 people in the state of Florida. That's something that we're very proud of as well. We honor the work that the two other not-for-profit iBanks do because we're all in this together. And what I don't understand is why the legislature is taking into account a system of protectionism and trying to enshrine that in state statute. This is like trying to say, you know, you want to take Disney out of business because you like Universal better, or vice versa. I happen to love them both, and I know my son does too. But there is no reason why the legislature should use the statutory avenue to try to take one business model and give that favor over another. In the end, the bill creates an unfair competitive advantage and will ultimately impact Floridians' ability, the most important thing, to receive life-restoring and enhancing transplants. And because of that, we would respectfully oppose this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Corbell. I think we have some questions. Ranking Member Joseph and then Representative Benjamin. Okay, Representative Benjamin, go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Make sure you're speaking to your microphone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
I think my question is pretty simple. You were doing this through your nonprofit arm previously, correct? So why the change?
You're recognized, Mr. Corbell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry. Representative, as your own bill analysis states, the future of this industry is shifting radically from what historically over decades has been mom-and-pop operations and shifting over into a for-profit tax status that will allow these companies to do significant research to try to end blindness. The not-for-profit iBank field, as a matter of fact, over the last 20 years has shrunk dramatically. In the last 20 years, the 120 not-for-profit iBanks across America have shrunk to 60. So even within the not-for-profit world, you're seeing a great kind of like concentration of smaller and smaller iBanks going into that kind of business. As Representative Caruso was asking earlier, not-for-profits do pretty well. CEOs of not-for-profits here in Florida are making hundreds of thousands of dollars as part of their salaries. They have millions of dollars in reserves as well. So this purely is a tax status issue. And nothing beyond that.
Follow up, yes, sir, go ahead.
Does your nonprofit still exist and can you still use that if this bill is passed?
No, sir, our only operation in, I apologize, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
No, sir, our only operation in Florida is this iBank in Orlando and it is a for-profit entity.
Ranking Member, thank you. Ranking Member Joseph.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. May I be recognized for a series of three questions?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First question is, so am I to understand that your representation before this body is that the profits generated by the transportation and preparation of the tissue is solely used for the purpose of research and whatever else you mentioned earlier and not for profit that goes to your stakeholders of the for-profit entity, meaning the shareholders or whoever else, dividends or whatever distributed to?
You're recognized.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Ranking Member, yes, ma'am. So in the 1980s, the process of charging processing fees became a thing once patients' safety and well-being was really being taken into account. You couldn't just harvest a cornea without testing the blood, making sure that it was safe, that it could be used for a transplant, et cetera. So at that time, iBanks started using processing fees so that they could, you know, do all of these tests on the cornea and be able to provide them to surgeons in a safe manner. As I've mentioned, that's been historically done for a long time. The tax status that my client has sought as a for-profit, as a matter of fact, makes it come under greater scrutiny in the state of Florida. Not only are they under the scrutiny of the FDA and ACA, but because they are a for-profit company, everybody from the CEO to the CFO to you name it has had to provide ID and background checks and everything to the state of Florida to make sure that everything is copacetic. I can guarantee you there's no way that we would be in business in the state of Florida if there was any problem going on.
Second question. So if the preparation and transportation of the tissue is not the source of the profit of the company, and that's reinvested into research, et cetera, where do the profits come from?
You're recognized.
Again, it's a for-profit company is only a tax status. It does not mean that we're in the business of profiting off of something. It's saying that the revenues, it allows us to use the revenues to be reimbursed, I'm sorry, to be disbursed into clinical trials, into research. That's what that allows us to do. Under a not-for-profit stance, you wouldn't be able to take the fees that you're collecting, the processing fees, and using them for that purpose.
So am I to understand that you're saying that no profits go to the shareholders or anything like that? All the revenue is reinvested into research, et cetera.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. It is against the law to profit from the sale of any kind of human tissue. And I will
not add, the sale, the preparation.
Yes, ma'am.
And the transportation. Okay.
For-profits and not-for-profits charge almost the same amount for all those same fees. There's, I think, a $20 difference the last time I checked. The other thing that's important to remember is, you know, this bill purely targets corneas, which is only one company in the state of Florida, my client. As a matter of fact, some of the other eye banks are actual large tissue banks that collect skin, heart valve, lung, other tissues as well, and distribute those to for-profit entities as well. So I'd like to say there's a greater issue here before us or a greater problem that needs to be solved, but it's really a protectionist piece of legislation that's looking to take a competitor out of business, plain and simple.
Final question.
Final question. Go ahead.
Thank you. To follow up on Representative Benjamin's question, I understand that your entity no longer is formed as a not-for-profit. Is there anything to prevent it from being reformed as a non-for-profit should this legislation pass?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. No, ma'am, the status that they've sought in the state of Florida is really kind of like the future of where iBanks are headed towards. They're wanting to make sure that the companies that are putting all this time and effort into clinical research and everything to try to solve corneal blindness is a model that a lot of these iBanks are starting to adopt. As I mentioned, these were local iBanks that for decades had been doing business, as Rep. Daly mentioned, the same way for decades. And I think, you know, respectfully, I think they're just threatened that there's a competitor with a different model now.
Okay. All right, seeing no additional questions, Mr. Corbella, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Actually,
hang on one second. Vice Chair, you had a question for Mr. Corbella. You're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I was wondering, is the CEO of your company also a shareholder of your company?
You're recognized.
Representative, I'd have to double check. I'm not sure. I know his name. I know that he's the CEO and the operator of the company. I'd have to double check. I'm not sure.
Follow up.
Couple of them.
Go ahead.
Did he start the company?
No, sir. He has worked for the company. Actually, started as a harvester of corneas as a tech. This is highly technical work, as you can imagine, over 30 years ago, and just recently became CEO of the company.
Okay. And do you know how much his salary is?
No, sir, but I'm happy to find out for you.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Vice Chair. Okay, seeing no additional questions, thank you. Mr. Corbella.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir. We have no additional appearance cards, so we are now in debate on the bill. Members wishing to debate. Representative Sabatini, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. I usually like a lot of Representative Daly's bills. He has very good intentions and his heart's in the right place. But this bill is very misconceived and takes it's a very dangerous bill, in my opinion, because at the heart of this bill is an assumption that the tax status of an entity in some way, shape, or form reflects the quality of care of the good or service it provides or the level of trust society should give it. And this is a comment more to the freshman members, but to the whole committee as a whole. You know, it's nonprofits that we have to be keeping our eyes on just as much as anything else. What the universities and hospitals and other healthcare providers and all these different charities and sham charities around our state do, to think that because they're nonprofits, somehow they should be held in a different light is ridiculous. This company has done nothing wrong. We shouldn't be bullying them and pushing them away and severing them away all because of the tax status that they have. Never seen this lobbyist in my life. Don't know anything about this company. They've never approached me. But this is a dangerous approach and a dangerous bill, and there should be an affirmative no. There should be a unanimous no vote on this bill.
Additional members in debate. Okay. Vice Chair Caruso, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Representative Daley, for bringing this bill forward. And good job in the presentation. I tend to agree with Representative Sabatini over there, because we're picking winners and losers, and after the fact, and I don't like that. I kind of like the capital markets to play out. Although I don't like the idea that companies make profits off of human tissue, and you know, from a moral perspective. I do want to, you know, I'm going to vote up on the bill but I hope that we can have a further discussion to try to put a handle on nonprofits. You know, there's so many ways to make to make money as a nonprofit and to put it in your own pocket. And I want to make sure that we can also put limits on that too. So going forward, I'll be up, but I've got great reservations on the bill. Thank you.
Additional members wishing to debate? Ranking member, you're recognized.
I share the vice chair's concerns, which I shared with you prior to the meeting. And my understanding of what those profits can be used for versus not used for is not quite lining up right now. For the purpose of this meeting, I will be up on this bill. But assuming it comes to the House floor, unless those things are clarified, I will be probably a certain no. So just a heads up. Thank you.
Additional members wishing to debate. Representative Tant, you're recognized in debate.
I love you, Dan Daley. And I'm not going to vote against your bill today, but I do want to work with you on addressing some of the same concerns that our colleagues have. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further debate? Okay. Representative Morales, you're recognized in debate.
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Dan, I've had an experience on the donation. I lost my sister 3 years ago. And just to think that there was an organization that came up to me and wanted me to donate my sister's organs, it was unbelievable. So just because what you're explaining right now, I'm sorry, I can't. And we'll need to talk. But I'm sorry, but I'm not going to vote for this.
Additional debate. Representative Fabricio, you're recognized in debate.
Rep. Daley, thank you for bringing this bill. It concerns me. It concerns me a lot when we're limiting one company. You know, we're looking at this one company in the eye, no pun intended. I seriously did not mean that as a joke. I apologize. But we're looking at this one company, and we're saying that, you know, we're going to write you out from being able to do business in the tax status that you're requesting. It's very difficult for me. I spoke with the other sponsor, and I think I'm going to have to be down today on it.
Additional members in debate. Representative Fanchowski, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Daley, I too share many of the concerns we've heard today. I will vote up on it, but I think we need to be very clear. For-profit and non-profit doesn't mean one is making more money than the other one. And when you take that aside from this bill, then the question becomes, why is this bill even here? What is the purpose for it? So I just think that that's something that really needs to be looked more carefully at. because it is kind of misrepresenting when you say profit or nonprofit as if one is making a ton of money and the other is making no money. And that's not really what the tax designation means. So I would just suggest maybe explaining a clearer purpose, because otherwise I'm not really understanding that part of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Additional members in debate? Representative Cheney, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair. The information that I had prior to this presentation does not seem to be the same information that I've heard here. So I told you that I would be up on it based on the information that I was provided before, but given the information I've heard here, I'm going to have to be down on it. I apologize for changing my vote on you.
Representative Duran in debate.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm going to go ahead and vote up. I do think we need to address some of these concerns. We did pass it through the House last session. I do like that we have the two of you talking to each other, and I think there are some important issues that should be discussed between the two parties that are here. But for the purposes of keeping the bill moving along and having a discussion to ensure that what we're not doing is in any way going to impact or could potentially impact the ability for folks to say, I want to give away certain organs or my family wants to donate organs, that stays wholesome. The idea of that is not a driving enterprise in a sense.
Additional members in debate. Thank you, Rep. Duran. Additional members in debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Daly, recognized to close on your bill.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And while I had hoped that Rep. Sabatini would say this is the most American bill ever and shoot off some fireworks as he voted for it, that's clearly not the case. And I understand that there are a lot of reservations, and I want to clarify a couple of things. Look, at the end of the day, yes, in this instance, there is one entity that would be impacted by this bill, but think about the larger, broader concept. You don't want, I don't think we want, I certainly don't want, for-profit entities operating in this space for the reasons that we've already discussed. So I don't want to say, and I think there is, to the ranking member's point, some clarity that needs to be provided, which I'm happy to ask for, when it comes to what the profits are actually used for CorneaGen. Because here's my issue. I don't understand if none of the profits go to shareholders, none of the profits go back to their investors or anything like that, why would you invest? Why would you be an investor? Why would you be a shareholder? At all. And actually, a little bit further, I'll take it a little bit further, we were able to obtain some. I believe it was an article that had talked about the CorneaGen kind of touted the idea of an IPO, right? So how is that possible? If every single dollar goes to research and development, how is that possible? So I don't know that that's entirely factual, but I'm certainly happy to find out. And listen, we've developed a very good working relationship. I was a little piqued that my bill died on second reading on the floor, but hey, it happens. That's this process, and we can certainly continue to work with the folks at CorneaGen. And I would point out that CorneaGen's nonprofit arm, SightLife, has operated since 1969. Since 1969 to 2019, there was no issue. Suddenly, they decided, hey, we're going to change our tax status and go in this new direction. And by the way, when they mentioned earlier that, you know, a lot of these local eye banks are closing or they're going away and the whole model is shifting, that's because CorneaGen is coming in and gobbling them up, like the one that they own in, or bought, I guess, in Orlando. So when you talk about this entity, we're not putting them out of business. They can simply go back to their SightLife entity and continue to operate just as they always have since 1969. So I appreciate a lot of the concerns, a lot of the things that were raised. We will continue to work on this bill. I'll continue to work with Mr. Corbella and anybody else who candidly wants to work on the issue. I just think the overall issue is the potential for folks to not be willing to donate tissue if they think it's going to a for-profit entity or to somebody's shareholders. And with that, I'll ask for your favorable support and close, Mr. Chair.
Representative Daly, having closed on the bill, Cheryl, please call the roll for House Bill 1087 and announce the vote.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
Representatives Beltran? Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Buceta Carrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney?
No.
Durian?
Yes.
Fabricio?
No.
Hanchovsky?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
No.
Persons Mulica?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
13 yeas, 4 nays.
Thank you, Cheryl. By your action, we will report House Bill 1087 favorably. Thank you, Representative Daly. Thank you. Our last bill will be by Representative Bartleman, last but certainly not least, with House Bill 899, which is Managed Care Plan Performance. Representative Bartleman, good afternoon. You're recognized to explain your bill. I know you have a strike call, so if you want to roll the explanation of, I know the bill and then the sure. strike call, that would be fine. It's barcode 497701, and then we can take questions. So
thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair, for hearing my bill. The COVID pandemic has heightened everyone's awareness to the disparities that exist within our healthcare system. However, without data, one can only hypothesize. More than 3 million people are enrolled in the state's current Medicaid managed care programs, a $19 billion cost. Research shows that healthcare disparities cost healthcare systems billions of dollars. House Bill 899 requires ACA to take that first step to addressing disparities by requiring the collection of data based on disability, race, age, primary language, ethnicity, and sex, so that better decisions can be made by policymakers, providers, and Medicaid recipients. This data will enable ACA and Medicaid managed care plan providers to see Floridians' needs more precisely so they can provide targeted services to specific demographics. House Bill 899 will bring greater transparency and ensures that our state's health care dollars are spent efficiently and effectively, making Florida's Medicaid program stronger and Medicaid recipients healthier. Thank you for allowing me to present this bill, Chair, to the strike-through amendment. There are three strike-throughs, and before I present them, I need to thank ACA for working with me on these strike-throughs and Eric Lloyd and policy staff. I appreciate your readiness to work with me and all the information you provided. So what do these strike-throughs do? Number one, it adds CMS adult core set measures and child core set measures to the list of measures the Medicaid plans must report in 2024 as required by the Federal Bipartisan Act of 2018 and the Federal Support Act of 2018. There is an addition of HEDIS measures, which will be applied to plans as specified by ACA. Second, it requires each MMA, a lot of acronyms, managed medical assistance plans, to collect and report the adult core set behavioral health measures in 2024 as required by the federal government. And third, additional language aligns with the current timeline set forth by the agency to avoid unintended fiscal consequences. In other words, rather than beginning this new data collection in the middle of the current contract, it will be built into future contracts to minimize the fiscal impact and align with federal efforts. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bartleman, for your explanation of the bill and the strike call that we're on. Again, that's barcode 497701. Members, we're now open to questions on the strike all. Vice Chair Caruso, and before you do that, Representative Bartleman, is this your first bill?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Vice Chair Caruso, scared. You are recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Bartleman, understanding this is your first bill now, this might come into line. Well, Rule 14 on page 58 of the House Rule Book, Part 2, Section 3, relates to distribution of documents, and I'm just wondering, how does your bill ensure that we do not conflict with this provision?
Representative Bartleman, you're recognized to answer that question.
Thank you for that great question, Vice Chair. I assure you and this committee that my bill does not run afoul of any of the rules of this great House, and that, in fact, will make Medicaid stronger. Thank you.
Wow. Thank you.
Thank you.
Nothing thank you. Further.
Vice Chair Caruso. Rep. Bartleman, I do have a question. Without looking, can you please tell us how many lines are in your strike all amendment?
66 with the title and 51 without the title. I did not count the periods. Well. I saw that the other day.
Bartleman. I'm done with my personal questions. Okay. Representative Duran, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Rep, for bringing this bill. Actually, with respect to the strike all, because it was pretty relatively lengthy, and I think it really is going to hinge on my vote's going to really hinge on this, but what are the four streets that abut the Capitol around us?
Representative Bartleman, you recognize to answer that question.
Jefferson, Pensacola, Monroe, Madison, Duval.
Oh. Okay.
No, but I see Rep. Sabatini.
Representative Sabatini, you recognize for a question.
Oh, now I'm nervous.
The Chairman, I don't want to ruin the mood. I had a serious question. Can we finish the? I mean, I don't want to. I'm just.
No, you're recognized.
I'm going to rain on the parade here, but no, I have a real question about the indeterminate negative fiscal impact on ACA. Do we have a guesstimate of what this is going to cost our agency, and of course the plans that have to collect this information?
No,
Representative Bartleman, you recognize.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I apologize. Will not get that till we get the fiscal in the next step, but. The reason the language was amended was to address that very specific issue. If we would have had to say, hey, change all the plans now, they would have had to go out, amend the RFP. It would incur additional costs. The changes that I spoke of involving the adult core and child core plans, those are already federal requirements, so that's already a fiscal decision that's made for them. The only other piece that's being added is the stratification of the subgroups. So that will be built into the program and will be part of the specs. So as soon as I get the fiscal, I will present that to you, sir.
Good. Ranking Member Joseph, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So looking directly at me and at no one else, who is the vice chair of this committee?
Caruso. Caruso.
And then when you're presenting, follow up, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, ranking member.
And then when you're presenting, you normally greet who when you start, besides just the chair?
All of the members.
You're recognized.
Oh, sorry, sir. I'm really messing up now. You guys are killing me. All of the members and the minority lead. Thank you, Representative Joseph.
Thank you, ranking
member. My leader of this committee.
Additional questions?
Oh, my goodness.
Additional questions.
This okay. is a lot.
Seeing no additional questions. Okay, thank you, Rep. Bartleman. We have public testimony. We have some cards that were turned in related to the amendment. David Micah, Florida Hospital Association, waiving in support. Waiving in support. Michelle Watson with Florida Children's Services Council waives in support. United Way of Broward County. Alejandro Gonzalez also waiving in support. That's on the amendment. Mr. Micah, I think we had a card for the bill. We'll get back to that in just a minute. That is all that we have on the amendment. So now we're in debate on the strike all. Any debate on the strike all? Okay, no members wishing to debate. Would you like to close on your strike all, Rep. Bartleman?
Oh, I waive close on the strike all, sir.
Okay, thank you. So we will show the strike all adopted without objection. And now we are back on the bill as amended. Public testimony, we had three appearance cards. David Micah, Florida Hospital Association, you're recognized.
Hi.
I'm encouraged that I get to do this on your first bill, Representative, and thank you for bringing this good bill forward. David Micah, on behalf of the Florida Hospital Association, represent more than 200 hospitals and health systems across the state. Well,
David, pull that mic up a little bit.
Absolutely. Sorry, sir. Mr. Chair, I just want to say we value the role of Medicaid managed care plans in supporting coordinated care for children and Medicaid programs across the state. And we also understand the importance of creating clear focus on these critically important measures to advance the care and the health status for some of our most vulnerable children. Some of the few things in the bill that we're encouraged by, and I just want to kind of give you an idea of some of those things that we'll be rating and looking, be able to look at, and policy members will be able to look at, including follow-up care within 7 days after hospitalization for mental illness, developmental screening rates, timeliness for prenatal care, and follow-up for children who prescribe ADHD medications. Look forward to working with you and the plans on this important legislation, and we'll help to move the system of care forward for the best interest of those who depend on it. We'll continue to work towards improved coordination of care and adherence to evidence-based practices to support better outcomes for our children. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Micah. The other two cards that we had on the bill were from Alejandro Gonzalez, United Way of Broward County, waiving in support, and Megan Turetsky with Children's Services of Broward County, also waiving in support. And that concludes the cards that were submitted. So members, we're now in debate. Debate on the bill as amended. Representative Sabatini, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair Yarbrough. Although the next committee stop is the fiscal committee, and that's the sole focus of that committee, fiscal should be, I think, considered at every committee. And these mandates that we continue to usher through again and again and again and again on ACA, on these managed care health care plans, and we have a socialized health care system in this country. It's at least debatably quasi-socialized. I think it's fully socialized. We pay for this. And so when we come up with new mandates, new restrictions on what it is that our providers have to do, we're paying for it. And so I would only be able to support a bill that improved the service, was guaranteed to improve the service for the cost or lower the cost or something. If there's no fiscal, I can't in good faith support new mandates on our socialist healthcare system. I'll be down on the bill. Thanks, though.
Additional members in debate. Representative Duran, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And for many of the reasons that my colleague just pronounced, I think that's the reason that we need to actually vote this bill up today. When I think about how much healthcare our state budget is consumed by the healthcare investments we have, we need to ensure that every single dollar is effectively and efficiently used towards the goal of serving the Floridians who are in those programs. I think that's what this does. This is about being a data-driven, analytical approach to the healthcare that we have in front of us. Thank you for bringing this bill. I'm voting up.
Additional members in debate. Representative Fanchovsky.
Thank you, Chair. Representative Bartleman, I want to thank you very much for bringing this forward, and I want to thank you for doing the additional work with your amendment to make sure that the fiscal portion is addressed, being mindful of the, you know, situation we're in with the budget this year. And I think it's wonderful that we're adding collection and reporting on performance measures, because that's what holds these plans accountable, to make sure that they're doing the job they're doing. Part of why we are sent here is to make sure that the services delivered are done so in an efficient and effective way. And your bill here will help move that forward. So I want to thank you very much. And I know you're one of the hardest workers I know, so I appreciate all the work you did on this bill, and I thank you very much for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Additional members in debate. Additional members in debate. Ranking member, you're recognized.
Two words. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and good job.
Thank you.
Additional members in debate. Okay, seeing none, Representative Bartleman, you are recognized to close on your bill.
I want to just comment that I understand Representative Sabatini's concerns, and I appreciate them, but healthcare disparities cost these plans billions of dollars. And by identifying these disparities, they can manage those plans better. Citizens can receive services, and it will actually, in the long run, research shows, will save the state money and will make recipients of this plan healthier. Yesterday, the women in this room today and Representative Duran, we're at a press conference with the speaker announcing his plan to reduce maternal mortality rates and improve health outcomes for new mothers and infants. As indicated at the press conference, data show that approximately 700 women die each year as a result of pregnancy or delivery complications. They broke down that data, and when they broke it down, they found that one-third of those deaths occur in the postpartum period. And when you break down that data even further, they found that Black women were 3 times more likely to die than white women. They broke that data down one step further to the months where the deaths occurred. And we modified our plan to extend benefits 2 to 10 months. Breaking down the data allows for targeted interventions and will save lives. I thank you for your support of this bill. I thank you for making this process an exhilarating one, Chair Yarbrough, and I am honored to serve with each and every one of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Bartleman. Representative Bartleman, having closed on the bill, Cheryl, please call the roll for House Bill 899 and announce the vote.
Representatives Beltran? Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Usada Cabrera?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Cheney?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Fabricio?
Yes.
Panchowski?
Yes.
Joseph?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Mooney?
Yes.
Morales?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Sabatini?
No.
Tant?
Yes.
Williamson?
Yes.
Chair Yarbrough?
Yes.
16 yeas, one nay.
Thank you, Cheryl, by your action. House Bill 899 will be reported favorably as amended. Thank you, Representative Bartleman. Congratulations. Members, that concludes the agenda for today. Seeing no further business before the committee, Representative Morales moves that we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.